Good morning, everyone. Every day, it's something new, or maybe not so new, about what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. I think the takeaway, as things begin to come into focus this week, it relates to the tension between hope and reality down there.
And you know, it's funny that the President Obama described it as a slow-motion crisis, because if you look at other oil spills, that's really also what they were. They took months and months and months to cap them, and then the after-effects were also...
And in climatological terms, it, of course, is an eye blink, because these are systems that have evolved over millions and millions of years. Does hope and reality meet in the Gulf? For political reasons, the president has to generally lead with the idea of hope, I think it's safe to say. And here he is yesterday during yet another visit to the region, setting up for an Oval Office speech tonight. Listen for hope here.
And in the end, I am confident that we're going to be able to leave the Gulf Coast in better shape than it was before.
Better shape? Where does that confidence come from? Ecology tells us that everything has an impact, that each boat trip, duck nest, and rainstorm permanently affect a region like the Gulf of Mexico. And that was certainly the case to this day on the shores tarnished by the last Gulf of Mexico gusher in 1979. The Ixtoc gusher poured 140 million gallons of crude oil into the Gulf. It took nearly 10 months to cap. It soiled beaches in Mexico and Texas. As part of a series on oil and politics around the world, our partners at the BBC revisited some areas affected by the Ixtoc disaster. Joining us now is Julian Milieri, who's one of the BBC reporters who traveled to the Mexican state of Campeche. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, John. How are you?
So is it the case that there's all kinds of effects of Ixtoc in Campeche and the places you visited, Julian?
Well, yes. According to locals, there are strong evidence that there still is some presence of the Ixtoc oil spill from 1979 to this day. We went to an area between the cities of Campeche and Ciudad del Carmen, which is in the coast of the state of Campeche. And a fisherman, Juan Antonio Zul, walked us along the coast and was pointing us at some rock-like formation, black rock-like formations, that according to them is the solidified oil of some of the 3.5 million barrels that were dispersed during that incident. They're adamant that those weren't there before, that those were only when the oil from the Ixtoc started to spread along the area and started to cause the damage that they say it has caused to the ecosystem.
Well, we're listening to Julian Milierini, who's one of the BBC reporters who's part of this series, Oil and Politics Around the World. Julian, talk to me about Bardelio Cruz Cornell. Here he is speaking about the current BP disaster having yet more impact on his fishing business.
Nosotros nos preocupamos también por eso que está pasando allá.
We're also concerned for what is happening over there because of the tides of the sea. It could make it here. That would be disastrous. We're already very contaminated, and our fishing is scarce, and now we could have this problem.
Julian Milierini, it sounds like he's very demoralized and expecting the worst.
Well, they are. They have experienced firsthand the kind of impact that an oil spill can have on a fishing community. For example, in the town of Champoton and Ciudad del Carmen, where Bardelio Cruz is from, they have learned it the hard way in how the fish stocks are reduced. We have to make it clear that they speak of the Ixtoc as a turning point in the story of the region and of the economic activity of the towns. They say that even the efforts that were made to disperse the oil, for example, using the chemical, according to them, was actually hurting the fishing stock even more. And the fact that some shrimp were never able really to recover, and the whole industry changed a lot. We have to remember that this is also one of Mexico's most important oil exploration areas. So they say that living in the shadow of that industry has also been what has damaged their livelihood.
Well, there's your perfect takeaway from the 1979 Ixtoc disaster. 140 million gallons of crude went into the Gulf. Julian Milierini, one of the BBC reporters in their series Oil and Politics, reporting on the permanent turning point impact of Ixtoc on that region of the Gulf. Julian, thanks so much for being with us. Joining us once again is Curtis Ebesmeyer, oceanographer, author of Flotsometrics and The Floating World. Curtis, it sounds like this is another turning point, although it's much deeper in the ocean, and it involves marshlands, not beachlands. How do you begin to measure the difference on the humans that are going to be affected, already are affected, by this disaster?
I think we're looking at a turning point in the United States, particularly environmental work. We had a major turning point when we had a gusher in Santa Barbara Channel in 69, major turning point when the Exxon Valdez spilled, and now we're witnessing probably another turning point that's far bigger.
Far big. Now, how does the deep water element have an impact on the turning point and the permanence here? And how does the marshland versus the beach have an impact?
Well, the subsurface, this is the first time that we have ever actually addressed subsurface oil. We've known about it for a long time, but this is the first time that it's actually ever been addressed, and we're looking at immense amounts of oil underwater, and we can't track it, we can't save it, we don't know its impact, so we're dealing with an environmental unknown.
Well, then, Curtis, I mean, I have to say, I don't want to sound like Glenn Beck here, but, I mean, when the President of the United States says we're going to leave the Gulf Coast in better shape than it was in before and that we're going to get back to normal after a few years, is that a completely irresponsible statement?
Well, I don't want to call the President irresponsible. I just think that it's going to take a lot longer than he's thinking. I think what's happened is Ixtoc... Julian just talked about Ixtoc. It took 10 months to cap that. It's going to take the oil is going to be around in large amounts into these November elections, so it's going to have a permanent impact on the politics of the country. Could swing Congress one way or the other.
People fishing for votes and fishing for shrimp are going to be affected. So what would be the language you would choose to sort of deal with this tension of hope and the stark reality that you're talking about here, Curtis Ebbesmeyer?
I'm always hopeful. I just think that people are going to lose several years of work, and they're going to lose their livelihoods and never return. So there's going to be, you're talking about the seafood breadbasket of the United States. So we're going to be losing this for several years, and there's probably millions of people are going to be. Severely affected, so it's hard to contemplate, hard to give those people hope when you lose your livelihood.
All right, oceanographer, author of Flotsametrics and the Floating World online from Seattle, Washington, where he has a view of the ocean, Curtis Ebbesmeyer there. The talk on oil continues in a few minutes on Capitol Hill when Tony Hayward meets the Congress and gets some of the same questions asked. Hope and reality in the Gulf. Stay with us.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.